This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So there was one Palm Sunday, and a little girl had a sore throat, and she had to stay home from church. That was back when kids couldn't wait to go to church, right? So she was at home with a sitter, and when the rest of the family came home, they were carrying palm branches, much like what you all have today. And the little girl asked her parents, well, what are the palm branches for? And her father told her that people held them in the air and waved them around, cheering for Jesus as he walked by. And some people even laid them on the ground for Jesus to walk over. And the girl was quiet for a moment, and then a look of sadness fell upon her face. In a voice of disappointment, she said, wouldn't you know it, the one Sunday I miss, Jesus shows up. So yes, today is Palm Sunday, and the palm branch that we use is a symbol of victory, of triumph, of peace. This symbolism originated again in the ancient Near East, a long time symbol. In the Mediterranean world and in ancient Egypt, it even represented immortality. Now, Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, this is not the first time he has been to Jerusalem. But during his other visits, he was still relatively unknown, harmless. Just another Jewish guy paying his respects. But by the time we encounter him on this day, many, many people had heard of this man. This is the man that makes the blind see, the man that heals the leper, the man that speaks these new words about the truth of God's love for all. And they believed and they had hoped that Jesus was coming as the new king to save them, to set them free, to set them free from the oppression they had been experiencing for centuries at the hands of the Roman Empire, and even some of the oppression and downtroddenness that they had experienced from their own religious leaders in their communities. And as we read the story of Matthew, it's clear that the people that welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem that day, they had very high expectations. And within a week, he would die. Within a week, those same crowds that shouted for his death, those same crowds that cheered for him would shout for his death. They would shout for his death in one of the most horrific ways possible. Crucify him. The same people who laid palms to receive him, who lauded him as the king, Hosanna in the highest. One might say that Jesus was the first to fall victim to what we now call cancel culture. Why so much animosity? Why so much fear? Why so much anger? Yes, the people were, after all, looking for a revolution. The Romans, after all, were worried there might be a revolution. And Jesus did begin a revolution. It just wasn't the kind the Romans were worried about, or the one that the Jewish people were expecting and praying for and looking forward to. You see, Jesus didn't side with the religious leaders, and he certainly did not side with the powers of Rome. Yes, it was a revolution that Jesus brought, but it wasn't one of the sword. Indeed, he says, sheathe your sword. The revolution Jesus brought wasn't one of the sword, but rather one of grace. It wasn't one of punishment as much as it was of righting injustices. It wasn't one of hatred and defensiveness, but rather one of forgiveness. It wasn't one of us versus them as much as it was a kingdom that lived on in hope that all people could and would one day be united under one banner for God. And so what Jesus really brought that created so much animosity toward him was a new and a different definition and understanding of power. And so the people who had the power didn't want to give it up. You see, Jesus introduced another way, another kingdom, a kingdom that found its strength in simplicity. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the pure in heart. Jesus talked about a kingdom where wealth came through generosity. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the merciful. Jesus preached about a kingdom and power through leadership as an act of service. He taught and preached that true power came through sacrifice. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not really what the people who had the strength and the wealth and the power wanted to hear. And as the ordinary folk are looking around, please tell us what we're supposed to do. They heard Jesus kept saying the kingdom of God is near, but yet they had yet to see a sword drawn to fight on their behalf. And they kept looking around and saying, if the kingdom of God is here, why does everything still kind of look the same? And as they're all in this crowd together, confused and asking questions and not sure who to believe and what to say and what to do, at one point they all realized to experience and know this kingdom of God that Jesus was talking about, to experience and know this kingdom under the banner of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, what it really meant is that they were the ones that were going to have to change. They were the ones that were going to have to do the hard work. And this made them angry. They were caught up in fury that Jesus claimed to be the King of Kings, the King of the Jews, the Messiah, the Son of God, wanted them to change. They were so mad, in fact, that they would rather have a known thief and murderer released than acknowledge these hard words that they were hearing from Jesus. That this new way of being was the true way toward the kingdom of God. That this true way of peace and wholeness. That the words he spoke perhaps meant they had been wrong. Jesus has been telling them, this thing isn't going to turn around unless we do something in our own life. And they did not like the sound of that. Today on the cross, we hear two prayers. As Jesus has been crucified, handed over, they have turned their backs, his disciples have fled. We hear two prayers. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And into your hands I commend my spirit. Two prayers, a prayer of forgiveness, a prayer of relinquishment, let your will. If this must happen, let it be. showing us that true power actually comes from the ability to forgive. True power actually comes from the ability to forgive and to be able to relinquish control. And that is, then we are able to live in a new way. A way where grace is our first response, where wealth is more about healthy relationships than it is about money, where justice isn't so much about punishment as it is about freedom, where forgiveness is about our life moving forward and not so much about the person who has harmed us. We hear two prayers today. Forgive them, God, for they know not what they are doing. And also may my example of sacrifice show them they can do the same. As we head into this week, Holy Week, a week to ponder and walk this journey of death into new life, I wonder, like the little girl in the story we started out with, I wonder, what would Jesus find if he showed up to be with us today? Would he find a room full of clenched, tight fists holding on to the way things are, or the way they used to be, or a better time, a better way of life, or whatever that nostalgia means to you? Or would he find a room full of followers doing our best to live with our palms open, letting go of the need to control? Would he find a gathering that knew we all had it right, whatever it is? Or would he find a gathering of open hearts and open minds, willing to hear and seek and to understand a new possibility? The gospel we hear this morning, this passion story, much of our relationship with God and Jesus is a journey as individuals, but this story culminates in a journey as a collective. It was the crowd that said, crucify him. The same crowd that could have said, we believe. It was the crowd that came together and their voices grew in the mindset of fear and scarcity and anger, wanting to hold on to their power. And so it is the crowd that Jesus addresses us today. As followers of Christ, individuals, and as a community, what would Jesus find if he showed up to be with us today? I ask you to hang on to your palm throughout this week. And if you need someone to show you how to make it into a little cross, we have Ed, who's one of the ushers. And as you look at it, ask, what would Jesus find if he were with me right here today? Would Jesus find a heart of forgiveness? And if not, pray. Would Jesus find a place of openness in trying to understand? And if not, pray. What would Jesus find if he showed up to be with us today? Amen.